Your Public Health, a recurring monthly health update brought to you by the MatSU Public Health Center nurses, connecting you to your public health.
Hello and welcome to Your Public Health on Big Cabbage Radio 89.7 FM. I'm Dr. Deb Gaidosh, public health nurse from MatSU Public Health in Wasilla. Today we will be discussing the flu and flu vaccine with my guest, public health nurse Renee Dillo. Welcome, Renee, and thanks for being here.
Hi, Deb. I'm glad to be here.
With the seasonal changes ahead of us and as we slide into fall and the inevitable winter, we at Your Public Health are beginning to think about how we prepare for the flu season, not only with patient information, but with flu vaccine to protect our community. However, many people are confused a bit about a cold versus the flu vaccine itself, and whether they should accept the vaccine when offered by their provider. Hopefully today, Renee will help our Big Cabbage audience with all of these aspects. All right, Renee, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start. The big question is, what's the difference between cold and flu? What might be some signs and symptoms you can discuss to help our audience discern not only what they might be suffering, but when to see their provider?
That is an important distinction because they really are two different things, although both can be caused by a virus. The flu is a much more severe illness. So typically with the flu, you'll most often see a spike in temperature and a rapid onset of symptoms. Like suddenly one day you'll get a fever, body aches, sore throat, a cough, you'll get a runny nose, just a feeling of all over weakness, chills, just generally feeling miserable. The flu is usually a pretty severe illness. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, it can show itself in different ways, but that's most typical. Some people, especially children, will get some vomiting and diarrhea, but there really is no such thing as the stomach flu. What we know as the stomach flu is a whole different gastrointestinal illness that can have a lot of different causes. The actual influenza flu is a respiratory illness that mostly affects the lungs and respiratory system. So on the other side, a cold is much more mild. It'll tend to come on more gradually, maybe starting with some congestion. You still might get a low-grade fever. And you might get a few body aches or headache, but it tends to be much more mild.
And I think, too, when people have the flu, they feel sick enough to stay home.
Yes,
you know, somebody
usually
with a cold might say, well, I'm going to take a little bit of something over the counter and take some Tylenol or ibuprofen and get through that. But with the flu, you are down. You are in bed. You are sick. And there is no guessing, like, could this be the flu? Could this be the cold? You're sick.
Usually.
And in bed.
Yeah.
And with the little kids, when they have vomiting and diarrhea, the big danger with that, of course, is dehydration because they got little bodies and they can get dehydrated very rapidly. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to make sure that we see a provider if we're uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that a lot, certainly in our health center when people come through. So when somebody does have these symptoms that you just discussed, to include the fever, and that seems to be the discerning characteristic, that you have an elevated temperature, not just a mild one, mm-hmm. that you feel pretty sick, is there a definitive test that can be done if you go to your provider to determine, since they're so closely related, that you definitely do have the flu?
Mm-hmm. There absolutely is. If a provider examines you and decides that your symptoms are consistent with the flu, then they will usually order, we call it the rapid flu test, the rapid influenza diagnostic test.
That's its big name.
That's its big name. Yep. And that's the usual one now. There's a more traditional test. That's a viral culture test. But usually they'll do the rapid test right on site. The most effective way is to do it by putting a cotton swab down your nose. It's pretty deep. It's not real comfortable, but it's not unpainful. It's not painful. Mm-hmm. It just takes a minute. It's really quick. And then they can usually tell you right away, do you have type A or type B of influenza? And then they can offer you treatment accordingly.
So part of that is certainly knowing what the test results are. How long does that take mm-hmm. to get back? Do you know?
Oh, it's pretty quick. I mean, they'll do it. I'm not sure exactly how many minutes it takes to run, but I mean, it's like within less than half an hour, they'll have results for you.
So you'll know while you're there.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Before you leave the office.
So
however,
yes.
As with any lab test, it's not 100% accurate. So sometimes the test might come back negative and you might still actually have the flu. It's just kind of a guide to mm-hmm. help the doctor make a diagnosis. But if it comes back negative and they say, well, I still think you might have it, don't be surprised.
And a lot of that has to do with clinical presentation, as we say in healthcare. That means how the patient looks when they come in, mm-hmm. what symptoms they are experiencing, the onset, how fast they got sick, and some of those symptoms you mm-hmm. talked about. And really just using that as a definitive guide. But usually a provider looks at the person and says, okay, let me look at you, and you look like you have the flu mm-hmm. based on what you're telling me and how my expertise tells me. Which is why it's important to see your provider, and also that the provider should know you when you're healthy, which is why we go and do our yearly exams every year, so the provider knows what you look like when you're healthy and when you're sick,
mm-hmm.
so they can figure
yeah.
that out. So if a person feels like they're beginning to get the flu, is there any medication out there that can either stop it or shorten the duration?
Mm-hmm. There absolutely is. The flu is a viral illness, so regular antibiotics such as penicillin or other antibiotics won't help at all. But if you get to your provider within the first 48 hours of being sick, there are a couple of antiviral medications that are available that have been shown to shorten the duration of your illness. They won't make you instantly better, but they work against the virus and will shorten the time that you're down sick, which can be really important mm-hmm. when people are looking at going to work, or in people with chronic illness, it's really important.
And which is also another reason why it's important to go to a provider who knows you. It's because they know other diagnosis you might have, if there's any other medication you're taking, in order to give you the best service and help you get better faster.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly better than being in bed for a week or longer. So if you have the diagnosis of a flu, about how long do the symptoms generally last?
On the average, flu will typically last for at least 1 week, but it can last as long as 3 weeks. The most severe symptoms will usually subside within 2 or 3 days, but it's not unusual to feel really weak and dragging around mm-hmm. for a while after those main symptoms subside.
And I think that's the surprising part about having the flu is when you're sick, you know to go to bed because you feel awful.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're better, you want to get back to work, because if you're out of work a week, it's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But how you feel post-flu and how your energy level is sapped and how long it takes you really get back to feeling normal can be a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's something I don't think patients really figure into the equation when they figure, well, it's just the flu. I'll be home a few days and then I'll go back to work. You don't just like, well, it's over. Now you're fine. Because mm-hmm. it does take a long time to get back on your feet once you've had it. And the older you are, or if you have another type of diagnosis, sometimes that could drag on even longer than that.
Right. And it's important in that time after the initial illness, after the first 3 to 5 days, and you're starting to get better, if you get sick again and you find yourself getting worse or your fever spikes back up, it's important to see a provider then, because you might be developing a secondary infection, such things as pneumonia, that can be really dangerous after the flu.
Right. Right. And for people who are smokers or have mm-hmm. a chronic condition of their respiratory system, this is an important consideration,
mm-hmm.
because that's how you end up in the hospital. And more deaths are attributed to secondary infections that arise from having the flu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty miserable when you do have it. What about when you're contagious? Is there a time frame when, say, a person is contagious to others, and then how is the flu spread when they are contagious?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, one of the reasons why the flu has been such a serious illness, and historically, it's really interesting, we won't get into it today, but to look at the history of the flu and how devastating it's been in cultures over time. But the flu is contagious usually the first day that you're contagious, you don't even feel sick. And usually get sick the second day. So you're out there, you think you're doing fine, and you're spreading it around,
mm-hmm.
and then you get sick. typically you're going to be contagious for 5 to 7 days after you feel sick. But for kids, they're going to be sick and contagious, spreading it around, sometimes even longer than a week, sometimes a couple of weeks. And so, yeah, you definitely are contagious for a while after you have symptoms.
And it's easy to see how quickly that can spread through the family. One gets sick, and then another person comes down with it, or even in a classroom, which is another place where contagion is just runs rampant.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it, because it's respiratory, so that means coughing and sneezing, spreads it. And if you're in a short proximity to one another, it's easy to get a sneeze spray or cough spray on you. And when you consider that, on average, a person touches their face 2,000 times a day, it's easy to see how we can spread that. Because the biggest avenue to get those viral germs into your body is through your nose and your mouth. And when you think about it, if, especially if you're a glasses wearer like we are, how many times we adjust our glasses during the day and your hand goes to your nose, and so it's really easy to spread it. And it's and it stays in with families, and it really can make the whole, the house sick for a long period of time. Now, on the flip side, how long until symptoms appear when a person is exposed to someone with flu?
So once you have been exposed to the flu, then you can get sick usually 2 days. That's the average. You can get sick as soon as 1 day, and sometimes it might be 4 days before you get sick. But the average is 2 days from the time that you're exposed. And so, and again, that means that you can pick up the virus and you may be passing it around before you actually get sick.
And viruses live on surfaces for several hours. So if you're in, let's use the classroom again as an example, the classes are changing, somebody sneezes before they get up to change class, it's on their desk, the next person comes, touches that area, puts their hands through their mouth or face, there you go.
Right.
Perfect, and perfect example.
Yes. And another example is grocery carts at the store. I'm happy to see that a lot of stores have sanitizing wipes so you can wipe down the handle of the grocery cart. It really is a good thing to do. You never know.
And I'm rampant about that as well. I'm always cleaning off the handles. Another thing in a grocery store to think about, too, is I've been in the produce section. And here I'm looking at my produce, and somebody a couple of feet down from me coughs or sneezes in their hands, and then they go and they pick up some fruits and vegetables, and it just like it makes me want to scream. And they don't think, they don't think about it, but that's exactly how that can, you know, affect other people who come by and just pick it up, because you can't see viruses. They're not there for you to look at. Too bad if they didn't turn things a different color, we would know don't touch that. But nonetheless, that's another way that, that the grocery stores can certainly contribute to spreading the flu around.
Another good reason to wash your produce.
Yes. Not only wash the handles of your carts, wash your produce when you go home as well.
Right.
So lots of times when people say, here's things you can do so you don't catch the flu, I thought maybe it would be interesting if we say, what is the best way you can catch the flu from somebody else?
Well, the best way to catch the flu if, say, you want to be sick is refuse the flu vaccine. Only wash your hands when they look dirty. And don't bother to eat healthy or get enough sleep.
Right. Just leave yourself wide open to whatever's coming your way.
And then people with the flu will spread it most often to people within 6 feet of them. So stay really close to somebody who's sick. That's a good way to catch it.
Yeah, so let's just certainly try not to do any of those things. But it's and it's when you think about when you go out to eat in a restaurant and you're sitting at a small table, how easy it is to just talking and sneezing and whatever right over, and there you are. You're exposed.
Right.
Now, looking at more on the preventative side, what is the best way to avert the flu?
Well, the best way to prevent the flu is to get your flu vaccine. It's really hard to, as you can hear, to avoid that virus. We all are around people. We should be around people. We should be interacting. It's good and healthy. But the having the flu vaccine, at least, even though it's not perfect, it gives us some measure of protection. And I think we'll be talking about that a little more. Getting that flu vaccine is number one. Next, wash your hands thoroughly and regularly throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Avoid touching your face or your eyes, your glasses. Avoid touching parts of your face as much as possible. And then, of course, consistently getting a good night's sleep, eating healthy foods, fruits and vegetables, keeping a good routine. That will help your immune system to respond better to the flu virus in case you should be exposed.
That hand washing part is really indicates why it's easy to spread among little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are they not washing their hands thoroughly enough, but they always have their hands, their fingers in their nose. The littler they are, the more they seem to have an affinity for playing with their nose. And that's perfectly what that virus lives in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes
right.
out. It's just perfect setup for that. So teachers really should think about getting their vaccines, and kids need to get their vaccines as well. I know lots of times when we have clients come in and I offer them the flu vaccine. Of course, every visit, as I said in the past, we review the vaccine record, let people know, irrespective of their visit, what vaccines are due. And now, of course, we always say, and we have the flu here. We have the flu vaccine. We'll be happy to give it to you. And generally, sometimes I hear, well, I don't believe in the flu. And I think, and as a reason why they don't want to get a flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in the flu. And I generally say, well, that's too bad because the flu believes in you. And all it needs is an unvaccinated human organism and they to set up house and they're perfect there. Or somebody will tell me, well, I never get the flu. And I generally say to them, well, you were lucky. You were lucky you didn't get the flu, but your luck is eventually going to run out. So what are some ways that I know you've heard some of those same things. How do you counteract those arguments when we have a patient come in?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I do is every time I give a flu vaccine, I always let people know that it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks for their bodies to build up an immunity from the flu vaccine. And the way the vaccine works is it is a killed virus. So it's like a piece of the DNA of the flu virus is injected. And that prompts the immune system to launch a response so that when or if or when that we are exposed to that virus, our body's immune system will recognize, oh, I see that, and that's a threat. And so it will launch a response that will help reduce our chance of getting sick. And I just like to let people know that information so that, and I'll tell them, hey, so when you leave here, you know, if you get sick tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking full-blown flu sick, then you'll know that it's not the flu vaccine that made you sick. It's you caught it because we get the flu vaccine during flu season when the flu is circulating in the community. That typically, and I know I'm jumping maybe ahead a little bit here, but typically people will get a mild reaction to the flu vaccine,
mm-hmm.
Like some little soreness in the arm, maybe a little redness and swelling, or even at the worst, a low-grade fever or a headache as a side effect of the flu vaccine. Now, that is the immune system waking up mm-hmm. to that vaccine saying, hey, something's going on here. I need to respond. That's good. That's what we want. If you don't ever respond at all to the flu vaccine, then your immune system's probably a little bit sluggish because some of that side effects are just our immune system being really active responding to it. So it's a really good thing.
So two important things there is that we don't give you active flu. So when mm-hmm. people say, you're giving me the flu, no. Because you explained how it's inactivated or it's called recumbent in medical terms. And
it's dead.
Yes, it is
we
dead.
We get dead
right.
flu.
And those symptoms,
yeah.
that immunologic response is what you're describing, is generally resolves in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go
right.
onward to get sick.
Right.
It just goes away. And you
right.
say, oh, that's my flu shot. Okay, I remember now. So another question that pops up occasionally is, why do I need to get a flu shot every year? I have to get a flu shot. I got one last year. Why do I need another one?
Mm-hmm. Well, flu viruses, actually all viruses, change and adapt very quickly. And so every year, different flu viruses are going to be circulating in a community. And every year, scientists work to predict which viruses are going to be most common during this flu season. And they do that by looking at other parts of the world, because typically we will see that our flu profile will echo those other parts of the world. So they do take really educated information and make those predictions. Some years their predictions are better than others. And each year the vaccine will contain three or four strains of different flu viruses that are thought to be the most likely. Now, those, it's good to know, those don't change completely every year. Some years, you know, will carry over with the same viruses and throw in a new one based on what's circulating, what's going around. But the flu vaccine, while it's not perfect, we have seen that it absolutely will reduce hospitalizations and reduce the rate of death from the flu. The flu is a very serious, potentially deadly illness.
And I don't think that a lot of us give flu its due diligence. Lots of times we'll get calls on people who are more concerned about Ebola or Zika. And it really, the flu is the disease that can really make us not only very sick or have extended infections, but can lead to death.
And it is really serious. Yep.
So I know we had last year, looking back at some of the lab-confirmed cases in Alaska and in our own Matsu area, do you have any figures that you can share with our audience on how many cases we did have that were confirmed?
Sure. So last year we had about 6,600 cases in the state of Alaska, actually a little more than that. Here in the Matsu, we have documented 330 cases of lab-confirmed flu. Now, keep in mind that those are people who went to the doctor and were tested, and then those results were reported. Lots of people don't go to the doctor for the flu, Sam, so it doesn't include that.
So,
we know there's a lot more circulating than that, but that's the figures that we have. And then you'll see if... if you look at those figures, that they occur way more in December through April than at other times of the year.
And that seems to be our time here in Alaska. I know in the lower 48, it's earlier there. Their season is probably more towards the fall and then starts to die off when ours starts to perk up. But it's always better to get the flu vaccine sooner at the beginning of flu season so you have that immunologic memory, because it takes those 2 weeks to perk up, so that you have some protection. And I do know, I had recently gone to a conference and they were talking about the anniversary of the 100-year flu that was here in Alaska, and how virologists trying to figure out in answering this question, why do I have to get a flu every flu shot every year? Because it mutates. Because it's a living organism. It goes, okay, well, now I'm going to change my way so I can find another organism to live in so that I can survive. And right now, virologists are planning for next year's. So they do what they call their best guesstimate on that. And we offer it so that even though sometimes the years are better than others, as the, how much protection, it's still better than zero. So it's important that you get it. Because it's a serious business, and I think it's worth repeating, and I'll ask the question again. Can people die from the flu?
Oh, yes. Sadly, they absolutely can die. Every year, even healthy people who are not ill to begin with catch the flu, and there are always some who die. Unfortunately, the most of those might even be healthy babies, toddlers, or elderly people are the most vulnerable. But there are strains of the flu that specifically can affect young adults and have affected young adults and caused young adults, healthy people you would never dream of just catching the flu and dying, that they do. It absolutely does happen. And so it is a very, very serious illness.
And that question certainly was raised at the conference I attended, and the epidemiologist was, when he took questions at the end of his talk, and somebody raised that question, and he said the short answer is, we really don't know why that's happening. Why young people, because it's counterintuitive that young, healthy people should succumb with in higher numbers than the elderly or people who have comorbidities or other diagnoses. And he says that's something that they're looking at, but he says the short answer is, We really don't know why that's happening. Is it due to the strain of flu? Mm-hmm. They don't know. So you really have a lot of unanswered questions. So it seems like the best thing to do is to get the flu vaccine to protect yourself when you have the ability today to prevent it. So mm-hmm. you don't get it for yourself right. and spread it to your loved ones or spread it to coworkers. And by the way, if you're sick, stay home.
Yes. yes.
You don't need to spread that to everybody else. Everybody in your job will thank you for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and don't feel bad about staying home for a little while because mm-hmm. remember, you're contagious for even up to 5 days after you get sick.
Well, we certainly covered a lot of information, but before we end, I just wanted to ask you about the different types of vaccines that we have at the Mat-Su Public Health Center and if people fall outside of the parameters of our age restrictions, where could they go to get a flu vaccine if they're looking for it?
Mm-hmm. So at Mat-Su Public Health, which is we're on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway in Wasilla, and we offer the flu vaccine to any kids 6 months and older mm-hmm. and all the way through age 29. But if you're 30 and older, the pharmacies offer the vaccine and local providers do. And if you can't find a good resource or you're having trouble financially, give us a call and mm-hmm. we'll be happy to help direct you to where you can get the flu vaccine. We carry the quadrivalent flu vaccine, and that means that it has 4 strains of the flu, 2 type A and 2 type B. We carry that, it's called Fluarix, for those ages 6 months and older. And we also carry Fluzone, which is specially formulated for the little guys from 6 months through 35 months. So we carry only individual syringes of the vaccine, which means that they don't have any preservative.
Right.
So all of our vaccines are mercury-free. If that's a concern to you, the multi-dose vials tend to contain a preservative, which has a tiny, tiny amount of mercury, but all of ours are completely mercury-free.
And which is why we have the individual doses, mm-hmm. whether it's for the little kids or for
right.
adults.
Right.
And that just brings a little bit more of calm and peace to our clients who come in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we sure got a lot of information today, which is food for thought. I want to thank Renee for her expertise and her willingness to share this information with our community members as we at Public Health strive to keep our community well. To our listening audience, your Public Health will continue to be a monthly presentation airing each first Monday at 5 p.m. and Tuesday at 8 a.m. on Big Cabbage Radio, 89.7 FM. If you have further questions on this subject, you can call us at Mat-Su Public Health at 907-352-6600, Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. And as always, I ask you to remember, public health works best when we all work together. Be well.
Only one. Here it goes.
Well, we sure got a lot of information today, which is food for thought. I want to thank Renee for her expertise and her willingness to share this information with our community members as we at Public Health strive to keep our community well. To our listening audience, your Public Health will continue to be a monthly presentation airing each first Monday at 5 p.m. and Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. on Big Cabbage Radio, 89.7 FM. If you have further questions on this subject, you can call us at 907-352-6600. Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. And as always, I ask you to remember, public health works best when we all work together. Be well.
You've been listening to Your Public Health. Remember, public health works best when we work together. Be well.